All right, welcome everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We're in our series, The Gift of the Holy Spirit. Our message today is The Spirit of God in the Old Testament, Part 2. It is October 2nd, 2022, and I am Dr. Mary Craig. And so we want to begin and open with prayer.
Holy Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. We thank you for his life of radical obedience, perfect personal perpetual obedience, even to death on the cross. We thank you that he fulfilled all righteousness, even to dying to pay the penalty for sin, redeeming those for whom he died by his blood, the sacrifice of himself. We thank you he brought the reconciliation that overcomes alienation from you, that by this reconciliation we can know you as Father. We thank you that Jesus bore your wrath, bore the curse, bore the sin, and bore the glory. Jesus destroyed the works of darkness, defeating Satan and his kingdom publicly. We thank you, Lord God, for those in Christ were chosen before the foundation of the world, and we are accepted in the Beloved. We thank you that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again from the dead, out from among the dead, and ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Almighty. Jesus Christ is King of kings, Lord of lords, God the Son, Son of God, ruler over the kingdoms of this earth, and coming again in power and great glory. We thank you for the sending of the Holy Spirit, and we ask that the Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of truth, guiding us into the truth, that he come as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, revealing Jesus Christ to us and granting us wisdom for the days in which we live. We ask that the Holy Spirit open our eyes to comprehend, understand, and perceive what you have for us today. Open the eyes of our minds and open the eyes of our hearts to receive. Honor our desire to glorify you. We come before you in humility on bended knee with our heads bowed. We pray that we be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man which was created according to you, God, in true righteousness and holiness, that you would sanctify us by your word and by your Holy Spirit, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, compassion, and grace, that we might love with faith from God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, so we continue our study of the Spirit of God in the Old Testament, looking at the time from Moses to David today. All right, the Spirit of God is not mentioned in all of the book of Joshua, though Joshua himself was full of the Spirit of wisdom, according to Deuteronomy 39, verse 9. When Joshua died, certain elders outlived him, and with that we find indications of a great change. In the book of Judges, we find a period of decline. The Spirit of God came upon men supernaturally gifted and raised up for the deliverance of Israel. From time to time, the people did evil in the sight of the Lord. They were delivered into the hand of some of the neighboring nations. Then they repented and cried out unto the Lord. And then a bold leader was raised up by the Spirit of God to deliver them. All right, this is a pattern of rebellion, repentance, deliverance, renewal that God uses to make his point. Repentance and deliverance continue as processes throughout our lives. This is a pattern, what I gave you. Rebellion, repentance, deliverance, renewal. And we have this in our own lives, and it's a process that is repeated all the way through the Word of God. It is God's grace of repentance and his faithfulness to turn our hearts back to him that brings renewal. There has to be something to renew there, see. 2 Timothy 2:25-26. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Always remember that repentance is a gift. It is not enough just to sin and ask forgiveness for sin. We must also seek God for repentance as a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Repentance is a gift. And remember, the indictment of God and judgment precede deliverance. Now back to the time of the judges. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Othniel, and he judged Israel, Judges 3:10. He came upon Gideon, Judges 6, and upon Jephthah, Judges 11, upon Samson, Judges 14. And when the Spirit of the Lord came upon these deliverers, war was waged successfully on the oppressing nations. The Holy Spirit authored all those gifts which these deliverers received. These gifts were intellectual as well as spiritual and kindled in them valor and courage. What they did redounded to God's glory to break the yoke of the oppressor when the purposes of God's discipline were served. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. One after another was raised up by the Spirit of God to deliver Israel. But the sad note of the time of the judges was that everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Sound familiar? The natural man, with his perverted mindset and paradigm of his own making, spins like a gyroscope and leans away from God's true north, like the Leaning Tower of Pisa in Italy. Spiritual things are discerned spiritually by the mind of Christ, by our seeking the mind of the Spirit and pursuing a walk led by the Holy Spirit on the straight path. 1 Corinthians 2:9-16. During Samuel's time, revival appears. Samuel marks a transition. He's a transition. Samuel marks a transition from the time of the judges to the time of the kings. Samuel walked with reformatory zeal and power. The nation had forgotten the law, lost true conceptions of God, sensualized the worship of God, and became enfeebled by false religion and vice. Samuel delivered the nation, bringing it to a period of flourishing. From a young boy, Samuel heard the voice of the Almighty. He was born as a response to his mother's prayers. He typifies Christ in growing in favor in both with the Lord and with people, with men. 1 Samuel 2:26. Yet he was raised by Eli, the priest. 1 Samuel 2 tells us of the Lord's intent to replace the unfaithful priest with one who would be faithful. 1 Samuel 2:34-36. Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. So Eli trained him up. So God wasn't speaking much during this time in history. Quote, the word of the Lord was precious in those days. No open vision. 1 Samuel 3:1. Samuel responded to the clear call of the Lord. And ironically, it was Eli who told Samuel how to respond to the voice of God. Samuel obeyed, even when the prophetic word turned against Eli and Eli's house. Of Samuel we read, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground." Everyone knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Samuel encountered one theophany after another. The spirit of prophecy filled Samuel in an unusual way. An order or school of prophets arose. A whole line of prophets arose, not in a succession like the priesthood, but in a succession of a higher order. The prophet required the inspiration and guidance of the Holy Spirit. He personally represented the cause of God and viewed historical events of every type relative to the covenant Lord and the law of the Lord. Whatever the voice of the Almighty spoke, whether proclamation of warnings and woes of the burden of the Lord or the burden of the Lord, the prophet spoke to whomever he was ordered by the Holy Spirit to speak. The impulse of the Spirit of God animated and enlightened him. The prophet speaks for God. Now, George Smeaton, in his book on the Holy Spirit, says this, quote, "The Lord Jesus, by the Spirit, dispensed by anticipation for the purposes of his kingdom on the ground of the future atonement, revealed himself to their spirit, moving them to speak and act and also to write. It was not according to their will that they either spoke or continued silent. They simply obeyed as the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, acted on each prophetic mind at God's pleasure, at his pleasure, using all those peculiar gifts or aptitudes with which he had endowed the different individuals for the end he had in view, the purpose." 2 Peter 1:21, 2 Kings 9, verse 7. And the prophet is a man of the Spirit. He felt himself apprehended by the Spirit. It's in Hosea 9, verse 7. And a discretionary commission was never entrusted to him. Unquote. These prophets to whom the word of the Lord came were watchmen and shepherds. They represented the spiritual elements of the kingdom of God. They emphasized the fear of God, 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. The kings often leaned on an arm of flesh, but the prophets counseled trust in the God of Israel. They did not guess the divine will and did not foretell future events at their own will, at their own discretion. Jeremiah 11, verse 18, for example, and Daniel 2, 19, and also Daniel 2, verse 30. They spoke not out of their own wisdom, but by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Isaiah 42, verse 9. The power of prophecy was not a constant or uninterrupted gift. The Spirit of God was the personal agent of prophecy. The Spirit of prophecy, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Father is God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is consubstantial or coexisting with God himself. He possesses divine intelligence, meaning he has a mind, omnipotence, he has all power, and omnipresence. He's everywhere. All the prophecies are uniformly spoken of as the immediate act of God himself. He is a person distinct from the persons of the prophets. The Spirit of God is not a virtue or excellency of the human spirit, which is to be sought and obtained from God. The Spirit of God is the personal creative spirit of the one true and living God. So this is why we need to be understanding and cautious and have the fear of the Lord, because the Holy Spirit is in us, but not us. And so you can be in a place and something will happen, and there is the Holy Spirit, and how the Holy Spirit is responding to a circumstance, and how you might be responding to a circumstance. And I'm not talking about multiple personality disorder or anything like that. So I give this an example because I was sitting at a wedding, and, you know, I was just sitting there. I wasn't, anyway, I was just sitting there, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit began to grieve, and I thought, oh my, I have to go somewhere. This is because I've experienced that before, and so I remember I went into the ladies' room, the restroom, and fortunately I was the only one in there. And for quite a while, I mean, 20 minutes more, the Holy Spirit was grieving. And I'm just a vessel of the Holy Spirit. So he was grieving, and I just, there it was. And then as quickly as it started, it ended. The grieving, and I went back into the service. It hadn't begun yet. We were just waiting there. Now, whatever, then when we went through the service, I realized that service included, I think they were covering trying to cover practically something from every religion or something. And so not only was the Bible read out from 1 Corinthians 13, but all these other things as well. And that grieved the Holy Spirit. And this was in a church, and a Christian church. And so I don't know, but that's what happened. And then another time I was having a nice day. I mean, you know, I don't have nice days every day, but I was having a nice day, and then all of a sudden I hear they were talking about this big volcano erupting, and possibly they didn't even know whether it was so severe, whether magma from the center of the earth was going to spew out. So it was frightening, but also exciting to the scientists. And then I heard, weep and wail for the woes that are coming upon the earth. And I've learned, you don't lie to the Holy Spirit. Don't try to manipulate the Holy Spirit. Don't think you're going to get one over on the Holy Spirit. No. Always remember who the Holy Spirit is. And so I just quietly said, but you have to watch your tone. Watch how you talk to the Holy Spirit. He's your next breath, always remember. And so I said, well, you know, I mean, I personally was having a nice day, and I said, I don't know if I'm able to weep and wail because I don't know the woes that are coming upon the earth exactly, you know? And I can't just manufacture that. I said, but if you want to use my body to weep and wail or whatever you want me to do, you know, there you go. And all of a sudden, I am weeping and wailing. I don't know what was going on exactly. It lasted about 30 minutes, and then it stopped, the weeping and wailing. And it was deep, I mean, groaning and whatever it was, and it was weeping and wailing. So experiences like that, I become more aware that the Holy Spirit is with me, in me, on me, and working through me, okay? So perhaps, oh wait, okay, let's go on. Now I want to speak some about the voice of the Almighty. God brought Samuel on the scene at a time, as I said, when there was no open vision. God was calling Samuel, but he did not yet know the Lord, the covenant Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Then Eli, the priest, instructed Samuel on how to respond. It may seem odd that God had Eli to be the one to instruct Samuel, inasmuch as Eli and his sons had corrupted the priesthood and would fall under the judgment of God. But in this way, God restored Eli. We learn from Eli's instruction that to hear the voice of God, one must be quiet and listen. There's a clue here. Be quiet and listen. If we're just going on and we're praying and whatever, no, learn to be quiet. Practice being quiet and listening. So you have your little antenna up, as I call it, and to listen for the voice of the Lord. And then you need to learn to identify what voice is speaking to you. But you have to be quiet and listen. Perhaps we imagine that we would personally like to hear the voice of the Almighty, but let's consider. It is the Holy Spirit who gives breath to the Word, Jesus Christ, to the Word of God, God the Father, at source. The three-in-one speaks. Job 40 verse 9, Psalm 29, 3, Revelation 14 verse 2. Now here's a small sampling of what the voice of the Almighty sounds like. Exodus 19 verses 16 and 19. Oh, I'm going to let Stephen read us this string of verses here, all the way through Revelation.
Exodus 19, 16, and 19. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand on the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. Psalm 29, 3 through 9. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry glory. Isaiah 30:30-32. And the Lord will cause his majestic voice to be heard and the descending blow of his arm to be seen. In furious anger and a flame of devouring fire, with a cloudburst and storm and hailstones, the Assyrians will be terror-stricken at the voice of the Lord when he strikes with his rod. And every stroke of the appointed staff that the Lord lays on them will be to the sound of tambourines and lyres. Battling with brandished arm, he will fight with them. Revelation 1:10, 4:1, and 14:2. Revelation 1:10 and 4:1 describe the voice of the Lord as being like a loud trumpet. Revelation 14:2. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder. The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps, and they were singing a new song before the throne.
All right, thank you. Many times we read of people to whom the word of the Lord came in the Old Testament. What does it mean, to whom the word of the Lord came? God the Father sends the word to which the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, gives voice. And remember, Jesus Christ is the Word. He is the Word. All right. The voice of God has the definite article. The voice of God is in the creation, speaking of his existence. The voice of God is in his Word. The voice of God is in his word, expounding what we need. The voice of God is in his prophets and apostles. The voice of God is in his ministry. If his prophets and apostles speak in agreement with the voice of his word. So you have to be in agreement with the voice of his word. Jesus says in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. Or the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Okay, so in that verse, it can be translated, the Spirit is the life giver, or the Spirit is the life maker. It's one of those few places in Scripture where you can go back and forth. Like you can say, the life giver is the Holy Spirit. Or you can say, the Spirit is the life giver. And or the life maker, or the life producer. Okay? And there's not too many verses that can do that. For example, one that cannot is the one that says God is love. You cannot say love is God. God is love, the God is love, but love is not God, for example. Anyway, we're not talking on that today, but that's important here. So is the Spirit who gives life, or the Spirit is a life giver. The flesh is no help at all. Some versions say the flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. All right, it's of high importance that we not reject the Word of God. The written word of God informs our experience. The written word of God is the measure of what any person believes he or she has heard from the Godhead. It is the standard. The word of God is the standard, the foundational structure. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So, it can't be a mixture. There is a connection between the words voice, words, and power. And you can look that up on your own in Deuteronomy 4, verses 32 to 36. In Psalm 29, the powerful reverberating sound of thunder is used as a metaphor for the power of God's spoken word. When we look at Jeremiah 7, verses 23 and 24, and Zephaniah 3, verse 2, we find that God commanded Israel to obey his voice. The prophet functions as a vehicle to sound the voice of God and his words. There are consequences for failing to obey the voice of God, John 5, verse 25. Jesus is the good shepherd. His sheep hear his voice and follow him. Those who believe belong. Those who belong believe. Those who believe obey. Those who obey believe. They believe something. We obey what we believe. Sheep can distinguish the voice of their shepherd. Are we listening? Are we listening for the voice of the good shepherd? Finally, I want to mention 1 John 4, 1 to 6. We must test and discern the voices we hear. If we hear a voice, how can we identify that voice as the voice of the Almighty? Personally, I say out loud, voice, identify yourself, your source. Now, usually in return, I will hear, I am, and on. God will identify himself. You should be able to go on any word you think came from the Lord and go down like the left-hand column of something in the margin and write scripture where that came from. And I've talked about this before. It's very important. Write it down as you hear it, not what you think you heard, not what you wanted to hear, not some stream of consciousness, not the way you want it to go because of some leaning in a certain theology viewpoint, paradigm. It should be scripture primarily. And the application of that scripture, and along with what God will commit to doing. All right. Personally, I say out loud, voice, identify yourself, your source. One time I heard cackling. It was. That's the only word to describe it. I heard this cackling, and then I heard, had you going there for a while. It was a counterfeit voice. And then another time I heard, when I said to identify yourself, I heard, I am your soul. You are killing me. And I said, good. For the soul that sins will surely die. From Ezekiel 18, verse 20. And then, the soul that lives is a born out of God one, born again. John chapter 3 and 1 John 2 verse 29 and 1 John 3 verses 9 and 10. And another time when I wanted something, this was early on, years and years ago, when I really wanted something, I was praying, you know, please God, blah, blah, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And having trouble getting it out. And I heard, if you redirect that prayer to me, I will give it. I'll get that for you. Or I will, you know, something. Okay, that was the devil. That was the devil. And I knew it. But we are here to worship and serve the Creator, the living and true God. The devil didn't like this part. But, and I said, oh, no, I don't want it that much. I don't want it that much. It was a trap. But it was also my fault because I wanted something too much. Not that the something was wrong. It was just that I wanted it too much. And I laid myself open to temptation. All right. God's voice, discern the voice. God's voice will always agree with God's word. So our primary focus should be on the written word of God. We have enough to do with rightly dividing the word of truth. We do. And I do hear the Lord. I do hear the Lord. I don't push it. Oh, God, I need to hear your voice. Oh, God, please. When he wants to speak, but I do spend some time just being quiet before the Lord and listening. And if God wants to speak, he'll speak. And if he doesn't, he doesn't. I don't push it personally. And what I hear is usually not about me. It's for the nations or something else. And because if you ever ask God what's on his mind and what's on his heart, what's on your mind, God, instead of just going to God with what is on our own in our own mind. Just like little children don't think about mommy or daddy or anything. It's just wah 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 wah. Okay. So we're gonna close with Hebrews 12:18-24.
For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire in darkness, and gloom in a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I trembled with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel.
Amen. And so now, if you would please stand for the benediction.
Oh. Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of the peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.